FLAR. So everything that you've covered in your certification will be in your handbook, which you'll receive before our January meeting, so in the beginning of the year. The other thing you would have received is the market analysis for community transformation. As we tonight, we'll talk more about work plans and why that document is so important. A lot of material that I send, I'll send normally reading material. And the reason I do that is just to provide you with supplemental information so that when it's time for us to proceed with an activity, you will have the background knowledge about that. So are there any questions about any of the materials that you received? Everybody's good? Okay, excellent, excellent. With that, we have an announcement from Director Peaks, the Director of Planning and Zoning, regarding an LCI update as well as an opportunity for board members. Ms. Peaks.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all tonight.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. The city of Fairburn this year, early fall, was awarded $100,000 from the Atlanta Regional Commission to conduct a LCI downtown master plan. And a consultant has been selected, and we are now in the kickoff phase of the project. And basically, the LCI downtown master plan is a plan that will be put together that we will use as a blueprint to really guide the revitalization of downtown Fairburn. And so the consultant has been selected. We've had our kickoff meeting with internal staff, which is myself, Sylvia Abernathy, Kalanis Johnson, our Director of Public Works Community Development, Lester Thompson. And so as part of that project, I have to create a core committee of folks who are considered stakeholders and people of interest in the downtown area. So my desire is to have my core committee for the LCI Downtown Master Plan to be comprised of business owners, downtown business owners, downtown property owners, as well as DDA members. I'm a member from the Main Street Board, and also I'm trying to get a developer to be on that committee. And so tonight I'm just asking if one person from the Main Street Board would volunteer to be on that committee. It's a year project. However, the committee is going to have about 2 to 3 meetings within a year. And it will be more of a steering committee, kind of a sessions where we get together with the consultant and we brainstorm and we create and think about ideas and methods and processes and initiatives to really help grow downtown. And those goals and objectives will be added into the downtown master plan. So I don't have to have a decision from anyone tonight, but if you would think about it over the next week or so, and let myself, or you can let Sylvia know if anyone would be willing to serve on that committee. Again, I know you all are serving on the Main Street Board. So this will just be, like I said, 2 to 3 meetings within a year. There will be some engagement meetings that we'll be having that you would be welcome to attend outside of those regular 2 to 3 meetings from the scope. The project scope is November of this year, 2020. With an anticipated end date of October, November of 2021. But we're hoping to really finish the project if everything goes as planned around August or September. So it could possibly be less than a year. So again, if you guys would just think about that tonight, let me know, let Sylvia know if anyone would be willing to serve on that committee. And I'm only looking for really one person, but if two would like to be a part of that committee, I'll definitely take too, but definitely I want some representation from the Main Street Board to be a part of that project. And that's all.
Just curious, you said 2 to 3 times a year. Mm-hmm. Is it like an all-day commitment, those 2 to 3 times a year, or is it like an hour, or what's the time commitment?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty much kind of virtual right now because of the pandemic. I don't really foresee us doing any in-person meetings a part of that project, not unless, things could change with now that we have a vaccine and numbers start to go down. But I foresee it being, you know, an hour to an hour and a half in the afternoons, anywhere like 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock start time. And again, like an hour, hour and a half.
Got it. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Director Peaks. Are there any more questions regarding the upcoming committee? Okay, well, we're gonna move along with the agenda. Just quickly, the bylaws and resolution, great news about that. The resolution was adopted on yesterday evening. So the resolution simply said that as the Main Street Board of Directors set the Mayor and City Council approve of the measure and have officially implemented the Main Street Board of Directors. Okay, so that's great news. And that vote was unanimous. The other thing in terms of the bylaws, the code of conduct communications protocol are inside of the bylaws. Just overview, the code of conduct is basically saying that as a board of directors, you will act in an ethical manner. And that if, on issues related to a conflict of interest, that you will recuse yourself from any decision making. It also in the bylaws stipulates that you will not take any sort of honorarium or gift in exchange for a decision or something along those lines. And I'm doing top of the trees tonight because this is really an orientation night. The day that we, in our January meeting, we will go in detail about the bylaws and different rules of order, how we will vote and upcoming projects and initiatives that we need to vote on. In January, we'll need to approve our work plan. We'll need to approve our bylaws. And so we'll go into greater detail, but for right now, these are things that I just want to highlight so that you can kind of focus in, each of you can focus in on as you review, make edits or suggestions to the bylaws. So again, the code of conduct is just really how you will function. This is not a fiduciary responsibility in terms of a Main Street board, but there are ethical issues related to the fact that you are privy to information about the city of Fairburn, about different businesses, even loans, a different financial matters, even investments or some projects that the city may be pursuing or as a board we may pursue. Another aspect of it is we are connected to the DDA. And the DDA does have some proprietary information that occasionally that will be shared with us. So in terms of code of conduct, those things, all any and all matters that we discuss on the board are meant to be confidential. For example, Director Peaks, the offering for one of our board members or two of our board members to sit on the LCI steering committee. There's information that you will receive on that steering committee that is privileged information. That deals with the sensitive nature of the planning aspects of the city of Fairburn. So that again will be confidential and not meant for further discussion or sharing in the various civic responsibilities that you, many of you have. So please review that aspect of it. It could put us in a situation if someone was to violate that. And of course, that we would have to respond accordingly. The other aspect is the communications protocol. Of course, typically when we talk about a communications protocol, most people think about how we share information with each other, and that is an aspect of it. But the communications protocol also deals with the non-confidentiality. The protocol is that any and all information that you receive is to be kept confidential, and there is a non-disclosure component about that. Again, you're on the Main Street board. We talk about initiatives and things that are of a sensitive nature, but with that said, you all also have the role of advocates. So we can talk more about what can be shared. If it's project driven, if it's initiative driven, those are things that can be shared. If it's a personal project or passion that you're working on, those things can be shared. It's just project specific information is something that is not to be shared in your various civic responsibilities. If there's a question about it, please don't hesitate to email or call myself of course, Director Peaks. Any questions about that section? Okay, and again, we'll go into more detail about it in January. The next phase is we're gonna talk about the work plan. And so I have a PowerPoint presentation that's gonna help us kind of, or guide us through that process. Mr. Parks, if we can go ahead. Yes. Okay, so we are, one of the things that we are charged with is creating a work plan. Again, in our last, in our previous meeting, I did share that we have started the process of a work plan, generally because last year, the Main Street Board, the Main Street Program was in effect in 2017. When I came on board, what I was charged with is setting up the infrastructure, setting up the program. And although we didn't have a board, that didn't mean that we didn't have work to do. So the work plan was established to deal with the work that we had to do. So next slide, please.
Hold on, I'm having a little difficulty.
Hold no worries. So community transformation is what we're charged to do as a board. We are looking at, if it works better for you to just do it that way, Mr. Parks, we can leave it like this and you can just, as long as it doesn't cut off the slide, is fine. Which one works better?
I'm gonna leave it like this for a while.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so this, although this is talking about the meeting agenda and I just mentioned the handbook, if you go down to work plan is simply a comprehensive blueprint for the Main Street program activities. It reinforces the four-point approach, which provides for organizational accountability. Transformative strategies are based on market analysis that inform the economic direction of all initiatives. So when we started the work plan, it wasn't just about getting some ideas together and kind of throwing them against the wall. It was about looking at an initial market analysis to see what was needed in the city of Fairborn, particularly the downtown district. Next slide, please. So one of the things about the organization in identifying a transformative strategy, the first foundation, the first strategy that we had to look at is a foundational one, how to create this program in a way that was going to be effective, that was going to allow us to create the partnerships that we needed to implement the programs and the initiatives. So this is a great quote, organization involves creating a strong foundation for sustainable revitalization effort, including cultivating partnerships, community involvement, and financial resources for the district. Without any of those things, we cannot have a strong program. Next slide, please. So again, the foundations of a work plan is the community transformative strategy. CTSs are what we use in a work plan. And they're designed to, again, rally volunteers, inspire investors, and serve as a catalyst for growth over a 3 to 5 year period. What we currently have in place as a work plan is based upon 3 community strategies and that are comprehensive, they're asset-based, they're visionary, they're concise, and they're measurable. And as a board for 2021, you all are going to create a work plan that will be based upon new transformative strategies. And next slide, I'll go into more detail about what that means. Okay, so these are the tools that you use to create a transformative strategy. You gather market research, you conduct a downtown survey. So when I first came on board, we identified between myself and the economic development director, we identified businesses throughout the area. I focused on the downtown area and he focused on the Highway 74 area. We've conducted what's called BRE, business resource surveys or business surveys. So we conducted a survey of all of the businesses, the active businesses in the downtown area that were willing to participate. And in that survey, we asked questions specific to that business from what their needs were, what their resources, how much money, what they did in revenues. We have a clear profile of each of the businesses. We also, there was a community visioning session that was hosted by Director Peaks prior to both of us coming on that gave us a real indication of what the community wanted in terms of priorities. So when we identified, or when I looked at the identifying transformative strategies, it wasn't some random out there goal or objective. It was based upon what the needs were for the Fairburn community. And it has to be tied to not just needs, but it has to be tied to economic indicators that will help transform the community. Without doing so, you may have a goal out there, but it may not be a goal or a strategy that's best for the Fairburn community. Does that make sense to everybody? Mm-hmm. Okay. And from there, it's not enough just to have a transformative strategy, but for accountability's sake and just for to evaluate the program, you have to have tasks which are measurable goals that you can accomplish in the work plan. And we'll go into more specifics in the next few slides. Another key component of a work plan or these transformative strategies are our community partners. Nothing successful can be done alone or in a vacuum. We have to have partners who help mobilize the efforts that we make. Those partners sometimes are educational resources. Sometimes they are our other business owners. Of course, we don't have a Chamber of Commerce, but CIDs. We have other resources through Georgia Main Street and also the Georgia Economic Development Association through the Downtown Authority. So those are our partners who help get us mobilized. The other thing is that we have to be transparent. We want people to know what our work plan is. So we will have our work plan posted on the website. The good thing about that, people can see what we're working on, and that helps to get buy-in from the community as well as excitement about some of the things that are taking place. If you look at the Fairburn website and each of the departments from community development onward, economic development, Main Street, planning and zoning, you will see all of the reports and all of the surveys and all of the work that has been done thus far to kind of get a composite of what is the needs of, or what are the needs, excuse me, of the city of Fairburn, specific to downtown and then also Highway 74 and all through all the residential areas throughout. And that is, we adapt, we add off a checklist when things are accomplished. One of the things that we had to do as a department through the planning and zoning is that we had to look at all of the goals that we had established previously, and we had to show what we had accomplished. So we checked off those things that were working, and we revisited those things that weren't, and then we took things off of the table that were either redundant or ineffective. And then, of course, we will revisit and repeat this as needed. Okay, next slide. So this is the information that we need to know, and I'm going to call on Director Johnson for a portion. I'm just going to hint on the top of the trees of this, but good market research helped shape our understanding of current economic trends. And during COVID, you see that more than ever. If we don't understand the economic trends, we cannot keep these small businesses afloat. We cannot give them the resources that they need. And thus, our local economies are impacted because small businesses means jobs, means opportunities, and we can't get the new investment that we want. Developers want to see communities that are thriving, that have continuity, that have, it seems like they're moving in a direction that have a plan. So that's where the board will help in that process. So this is the information that we gather. Local resource survey. Again, I talked about that business survey. We're understanding the retail mix, what's in the downtown area. We're looking at the downtown vacancy rate. We're looking at the average cost per square foot. We can't when someone comes to us and talks about, we want to move into the Fairburn area, or what spaces or lots or what do you have available, if we don't know this data, we can't negotiate effectively. So this is information we have to know. And I will kind of ask Director Johnson to kind of make this, give you a visual of what this means in terms of retail leakage survey, demographic reports, commuter metrics. Commuter metrics, just as a hint, a lot of business owners talk about how people downtown kind of just travel through. It's like a thoroughfare, but they don't stop. Well, that data helps us to get them to stop. We start attracting the right combinations of businesses. Mr. Parks, if you can go forward to the slide we were just on. They're right there. Back, one more, just back one. Thank you, right there. So those commuter metrics, like we know roughly 80,000 trips, and we got that information from ARC, run through the downtown area over a given time. Okay, we're gonna go back right there, yes. Another thing that helps us in as a board and as actors or staff is a tapestry segmentation report that gives us an overview of the entire city in terms of incorporating demographics. So Mr. Johnson, you wanna take it from there?
Yeah, quickly. Yeah, I'll just want to talk briefly regarding some of the resources and the information, the market information regarding economic development. But specifically, I want to talk about the leakage, the retail leakage. This information, now Sylvia mentioned the Atlanta Regional Commission as a source. There is also a source from ESRI, which is a GIS-based resource. They have a retail marketplace database. It includes a leakage and surplus factor. Simply, it measures a balance between the volume of sales that are generated by certain businesses. That's the supply. And this is basic economics in terms of supply and demand. To come up with the leakage, it's looking at the amount of potential revenue that leaves an area because certain certain goods and services are not offered. For instances, the volume of retail sales generated by the current retail businesses and the volume of retail potential is the demand produced by household spending. Looking at demographic information, the city of Fairburn and surrounding areas has a certain demographic background in terms of the purchasing power to support certain types of goods and services. That would actually be the demand. And it's based on the household spending on certain goods in the area. So the demand says there is, for example, $50,000 average household income. That area, that's the demand for potential restaurants or different types of retail. But the supply will be, well, is it available? If the demand is there, if the purchasing power is there in the downtown area, but if there's not an adequate supply to meet that demand, then that those households will take their dollars and go elsewhere, mm-hmm. to maybe College Park, City of South Fulton, Union City, or Fayetteville. Hence the term leakage, which means that money, that purchasing power will leave out of the Fairburn area. Essentially, it's a snapshot of the retail opportunity. And just basically talks about what's inside, I guess, the Fairburn trade area, and basically where the demand exceeds a supply. And it's important for your role, as well as the city and leadership, to make sure that there's an adequate amount of stores, retail, restaurants, mm-hmm. to meet that. That means that making sure the proper zoning is in place. I know I've heard the term, you guys have heard historical preservation, making sure that, the downtown buildings, that everything's looking a certain way. You know, we have a streetscape that's going on, making sure that not only that there's an adequate supply of goods, but make sure the area looks nice, safe, well-lit, safe for pedestrians, efficient traffic flow. All those factors go into play to make sure that the purchasing power, the demand in an area is being able to be met. Because one thing about if this pandemic can teach us anything is that folks will actually go get the goods and services that they need, consumer goods, durable goods, groceries. If they can't get it where they live, they will get in their cars and go get it or get it delivered. But I think it's imperative that we as the city, and as well as you on the Main Street Board, make sure that the downtown merchants, and not even downtown, even on 74 and the surrounding areas in the city, though, is making sure that there's an adequate supply of goods and services so to make sure we can meet the demand of the surrounding areas. And so that's just one of the quick things I want to talk about. I mean, there's a book from Metrics on here. We talked about demographics, but just overall, but I'll make sure that Sylvia has access to the retail marketplace database. And some of this information, we have a partner, ECG, Electric Cities of Georgia, which actually provides a lot of demographic information. So to keep, you know, Sylvia from having to go looking here and there, although ARC is a valuable resource, there are other sources for her to get this data. But overall, I just want to make sure that you guys, you understand the need of supply and demand and the importance of not allowing certain, the revenues, certain funds to leak out of the city, but making sure that there is an adequate supply of goods to meet the demand that's in the city. And this is just one example, again, of some of the metrics and some of the economic trends and analysis that are important when looking at recruiting businesses and also maintaining the certain businesses that are there now.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson. The great news is, next slide, Mr. Parks. The great news is all that information is just meant to give you a bird's eye view of how we come to what we're looking at right now, which is community transformation strategies. You don't have to remember all of that about the retail mix, downtown vacancy, average cost per square foot, the leakage report. It is good information to know because it informs the decision making. It helps us to provide reports to decision makers. It helps us to advocate when we're going out talking in the communities. Many of you all will be a part of speakers bureaus. You'll be speaking at different associations. It helps in that regard. But most importantly, it helps informs this right here. What you're looking at is all of the transformative strategies that are approved by the Georgia Main Street program for our work plan development. And in each of these areas, in your previous handouts that you received in your packet, it goes into more detail with what each of these strategies do in terms of the community and how they can be incorporated to bring money to our downtown area and help us better develop our downtown area. All of these terms mean nothing if we're not showing people the money. I mean, that's basically what we're working towards. We're working towards bringing those businesses in, increasing the foot traffic downtown, and showing folks the money. Because if we beautify the area, we bring the arts and entertainment, we start having the walkable pathways, the green space, we have the placemaking, we're telling our story, we have really neat places to hang out, there's infield apartments and things like that downtown, people can travel easily and walk and park and all that thing. Guess what? That means they're coming to our downtown. And that means they're telling other people about it. And so people are traveling from other places to come into our downtown. So arts and entertainment, that's pretty straightforward in terms of bringing that entertainment element. Everybody on this call can think about places they like to go for entertainment, for arts within the Georgia region. We want to make Fairburn one of those places. And we can do that by public art placement, beautifying our spaces, making the downtown, the streetscape, which is currently underway, making our businesses shiny and new, so to speak, incorporating, like that unique flair. Like you can get the best burgers in downtown Fairburn. You know, you want to get special hair, salon quality, you can do that in downtown Fairburn. I mean, you have the best outreach ministries and things of that nature in downtown Fairburn. You want all of people coming to the downtown Fairburn. You've got, we're looking at some real estate. Hopefully we can get some infill. We can get some of that stuff approved. so we can have downtown living. So again, these are all of the strategies that we're looking at. So moving forward, let's look at the CTSs that we had for 2020. Next slide, please. So in our downtown, our role as a board is downtown transformation. And we get that transformation to, through ideas and bringing all of our partners to the table. Next slide, please. This right here is an example. Okay, something slipped. Can we go back one? Okay, this is an example of a work plan that we created. And Georgia Main Street is very helpful in giving us a lot of templates. We started off with foundation building. Why did we start off with foundation building? Because the Fairwind Main Street program was new and didn't have those things. So for example, our transformative strategy was foundation building. And what it says, describe what the strategy means for your program. Well, downtown businesses need more shoppers to support their business. More people will come downtown if there are a variety of retail restaurants. So as you think about how we'll develop the 2021 work plan, it doesn't have to be some special language. It doesn't even have to be industry specific. What it has to be is meaningful. We need more people downtown. We need more variety of businesses. So our goal is to what? Improve overall business recruitment and retention strategies. That was goal one. Goal two was to increase visitors and residents to the downtown district. Goal three was to create a network of business to establish ongoing communication and relationship building. One of the challenges from coming into the role is that there was a fragmentation or disconnect with businesses, not because there was an effort, it was just it needed to be ongoing and continuous, and we needed to kind of bring everybody together. So some of the annual responsibilities tied to this goal would be online business directory, monthly merchants meetings, local resources and business incentives. These things reinforce the goals that we're trying to implement and the overall foundation building. And some of the tasks that we had to put in place is ensure that everyone was certified on the board, conduct a market studies to determine a economic climate. We hosted a merchants meeting this year to assess current needs of the downtown. Although it was related to what was going on with streetscapes, we got some excellent feedback from people about what their needs were. We also have identified state and local resources for businesses. COVID, one of the first emails that I sent out when I came in this role, unfortunately, was not, hi, how are you doing? But it was, here's some information about SBA lending to support you during COVID, you know? So we as a program have to be on the ready in terms of providing things to supplement and to help our businesses. Create and adopt bylaws is a task that we did with this transformative strategy, and of course, facilitate a board work plan. So this is only like one page of a work plan. They recommend that we have no more than three strategies because they're pretty comprehensive. So next slide. So goals versus tasks. Everybody knows the difference between the goals and the tasks. What this is really trying to pinpoint is that our goals have to be tied to specific projects. It's great to have goals. It's great to even put objectives, but our work plan has to be practical and it has to be actionable. Next slide, please. Okay, so these are the elements of a comprehensive work plan. And this is where everybody needs to unmute their phones because this is the part where we work on some feedback. So for 2020, we looked at foundation building, community serving, and storytelling. I already went over foundation building in the example. Community serving focused on developing an environment that is entrepreneur friendly and incentives, using incentives, for businesses serving the needs of residents of the greater community, recruitment of new businesses. The way that we did that here is, of course, we had to shift focus. We started having COVID mobile testing and that sort of thing, which is surprisingly is an economic development function. People knowing their status helped us as a community to determine what we needed. And then of course, we also did storytelling through our promotions. We have a brand report that we can share at a later date that helps us to bring an identity to the downtown district. Now, I wanna pose the question to the team or the board, moving forward, do you feel like the next three transformative goals are consistent with the direction that we need to go in? And do you feel like the goals that we started off with, the transformative strategies, were effective for getting the Fairburn Main Street board off the ground?
Okay, well, I'll speak. I think so. Okay. Sylvia, I think so. According to what you have here in your comprehensive work plan for year 2020 and 2021, I think what you have identified in 2021, well, what you identified in 2020 complements what you have identified in 2021. So, but I think so. I think it's on target from what I'm reading.
Okay. I'm going to put this, thank you, Chairperson Appleby. I'm going to put this back to the board in terms of the storytelling. Do you feel like the city of Fairburn has been effective in telling the story, meaning refining the city of Fairburn's brand? As a board, I'm gonna start calling on people because I know Mr. Hill is very knowledgeable in marketing. So I'm gonna call on him because I know in terms of as a business owner, Mr. Hill, what do you feel could be more effective as we're moving forward in sharing the story of the city of Fairburn from a strategic standpoint?
Personally think before even moving forward with that, it would definitely have to be more development in the downtown area before we can even really, because there's only a few businesses down that is really offering anything. So what would anybody really be coming to right now? I'm marketing myself, but one or two businesses is not going to bring the type of crowd that we would like to see on a regular basis.
Exactly. So you see why for 2020, telling the story was limited. And so looking at 2021, we have to look more at business activation and beautification than storytelling. And we probably have to revisit storytelling once, like you said, we do a better job of recruiting more businesses into the downtown area. Your story has been masterful in terms of the marketing and just the sheer drive as an individual business where you're actually bringing, people are coming to Fairburn to go to Sliders. So, yeah,
well, I think once you have something to offer, then, that pretty much is the hard part. The marketing to actually get them there, is the easy part when you actually have something to offer.
Makes sense. Mr. Benton, I'm sorry, was there someone?
This is Kimberly. I just wanted to kind of piggyback on the storytelling. Immediately what I thought about was Casablanca's. Know there's a story behind that and it led me to want to support them and want to come out and see that business thrive because I was able to meet with the owners and talk to them. And I think, and that's basically through Facebook. I think social media is a big part of it. and mm-hmm. actually making people aware of what downtown Fairburn will have to offer. I think that's going to play a major part in the storytelling okay. and getting other businesses to come down to downtown Fairburn.
And I think you're absolutely right. We can do a better job in terms of our social media presence. Right now, because of the lack of business network, we are relying on the city of Fairburn's Facebook rather than having our own. And hopefully we will be able to, as a Main Street board, start generating our own press through our own socially driven Facebook. Does that make sense to everyone? Would you find that agreeable or disagree?
Absolutely. And that was going to be my suggestion, that we kind of own our content as a board and we manage kind of what goes out. Because in my opinion, I think the storytelling portion of, you know, what we got on the screen here, I think that's an ongoing thing that never stops.
Can I add something, Sylvia?
Yes, ma'am.
But I would like to add just some context, I guess, to the whole storytelling idea. So back in 2015, the city hired a company to actually do branding for the city. And they put together a branding package for the city of Fairburn. And it's very comprehensive. And I think they actually did a great job. That's where the new city logo, the tagline, Situated to Succeed, the new city train, the seal for the city, all of that came out of the 2015 branding document. And I, you know, just as a staff member, I think that we haven't been as diligent as we should have been with just some of the initiatives and the ideas that came out of that document that the city just hasn't been really proactive in doing. And we've done some things and some things we just haven't done. So I agree with Mr. Benton that storytelling is an ongoing thing and it never really ends. And I do agree that, you know, using some of the materials that we've already had and we paid consultants to develop for us, that this board can really take some of those ideas and really run with them, because it's a really great document and it may be even worth in one of these meetings to share with you all some of the content that was in that report. But I think, you know, it's a lot of the work has already been done. It just needs to be implemented and actually pushed out from a body such as the Main Street Board. So I just, you know, thought that was worth mentioning to you all, that the city have a whole branding report of so many ideas, everything from wayfinding signage for downtown to branding with hats and socks and, you know, car decals, pens, notepads. I mean, it's just a plethora of ideas in that report that I think is definitely worth this board getting hope to, and maybe coming up with some really great ideas to really push some of those things forward.
Definitely. And one of the things that January will be a busy time in terms of you all receiving a lot of information. And I'll make sure that you all get a copy of the brand report. As Director Peake says, a lot of the promotional efforts are done in that branding report in terms of Shotskis, giveaways, those sort of things, how we start in terms of wayfinders, some of the flags that you see, like if you go to some of our surrounding neighbors and say, oh, it's happy to be in this particular city, or this is our historic downtown. Those are the kind of elements that are there. The challenge that we did run across when we first reviewed the report is that it was a 2015 report. And so the demographics have changed. And there has been, you know, that's kind of why the report is kind of not really laid on the table, but now we have a different audience than what we had in 2015. However, the promotional parts of it, like the Situated to Succeed, was a part of the brand. And that's something that has been very helpful in letting people know about the proximity of Fairburn and how it's most effective. We were talking about storytelling. Storytelling, I think we all agree, is ongoing. And so the next thing that we are looking at is 2021. What I'd like to hear from the group is those three transformative strategies that are listed on the page. Do you feel like those, just take a moment to read them. Do you feel like those three strategies encapsulate what we need to be focused on? Also keep in mind that the three strategies that we have from 2020 will be going on ongoing as well. So let's just take a minute and then I'd like to hear your feedback.
I can start. I mean, I think they're on point.
Okay.
I mean, these are definitely the things that we need to focus on.
Okay. So this will be our starting point. Is there anyone else that wants to chime in?
I agree. I feel the same way. I think is we get everyone on the same page and in tune to where downtown looks more unified, it will encourage new business owners to want to come into the area. It'll look more appealing.
Okay.
And I also would like to say, just from being in Fabrin, I think Fabrin is ready for this because, first of all, it was a reason for me wanting to come to Fabrin because it's a beautiful city. You know, it's not there yet, which a lot of business owners and investors, they appreciate cities that are at the point that Fabrin is at right now. Because a year and a half ago, I would close my restaurant up at 10 and it would be absolutely no traffic.
Wow.
Now when we close up, it's constant cars going, you know, past. So I think Fabrin is definitely ready for this, you know, what we're trying to do right now.
Okay.
And also too, with our grant initiative we have, the LCI beautification of the downtown area, the 2021 initiatives that you have will play into that. So with all the street furniture and just the overall appeal of the downtown design that you're seeing right now that the city is implementing. So this, the 2021 plan, work plan, will complement all of that.
Okay.
Yes, and I think once we're back to some sense of normalcy where we can gather on Fridays for the marketplace, I think that was off to a great start. And when you think about placemaking and bringing everyone out, different walks of life, you would see everyone kind of sitting around with their kids, with grandparents. And I think once we're back to some sense of normalcy, you'll have people gathering that will go out and shop in these various locations.
That's all of those are excellent comments. To the point of people coming out, Director Peaks and I were on a call, and one of the things that it was recommended that we look at is the picnic tables and things like that where people can be outside. There's actual the paint. I don't know, Director Peaks, you want to talk about the painted picnic? Was it Sandy Springs or Peachtree Dunwoody?
I think it was Sandy Springs because of COVID-19 and trying to give the businesses some opportunities to have some outside dining options. They just started putting picnic tables out, and then they started to allow different organizations to actually paint the picnic tables. And one painted picnic table went to two picnic tables, and then they just went to four, and then it springboarded into this whole placemaking and public art project in Sandy Springs. And it was featured on, I think it was Fox 5 News, and how just a simple picnic table now is public art throughout Sandy Springs. And it all stems around businesses being able to give the restaurants and their customers opportunities to eat in the midst of COVID and not be inside of a restaurant, but outside with fresh air and, you know, social distancing and all of that. But I want to add this too, Sylvia, if I may. The placemaking aspect is, I think, something that's going to really be big for Fabrin in 2021 and just moving forward because of our creative placemaking strategy. And one of our first projects through that initiative is our municipal court alley project, which would provide placemaking opportunities for people to just gather and you know, talk and be an extension to the stage and courtyard during activities such as our plays and our Friday night markets and things of that nature. So we're really looking forward to kicking that that project off as one of our first placemaking strategies with the addition of public art being included in that. So I really think Fairman's gonna see some really great placemaking projects in 2021 and moving forward.
Definitely, definitely. Those are great comments. Is anyone else want to talk about the business activation or in development or beautification? Or just general thoughts about 2021, some of the things that it sounds like the consensus is that we stick with these six transformative strategies. The three, finalizing those for 2020, and then for 2021, focusing more on those three, but having the 2020s as subcategories for our transformative strategies. Does that make sense to everyone? So again, those from 2020, of course, all of this would be ongoing. Now, in terms of our foundation building, we're at the point where we're closing that out. The infrastructure is being in place and we're finalized. So that one will probably drop off. But in terms of our community serving, in terms of really promoting that entrepreneur friendly environment, I know that in economic development, we had been talking about incubators and business training, but COVID kind of put a stop to that. But Mr. Johnson, do you want to talk about some of the things that 2021 may hold in terms of the incubators and the planning, I mean, the training for businesses and some of the resources that we did identify in 2020?
Yeah, good point. Good segue, Sylvia. The business incubator is something that a lot of the surrounding cities and local governments are doing to make it twofold, to not only help businesses that are existing, providing them with resources in terms of how to operate, funding, procurement, networking, but also to help those startups, those that actually may not be that far along, but just that have maybe ideas that they've conceived, but go from point A to point B, and to kind of help them those first two or three critical years. And it's more than just providing capital, but it's just helping them to get up and running, you know, how to write a business plan, if you will, and the need to write a business plan, the need to how to write a proposal, how to join a business association and the like. The city has resources in terms of buildings. We have an annex. We have a building, a vacant building up on the campus, Fairburn Educational Campus. So there are resources in place, facilities that we can use. When I started with the city, that was one of my goals. But as you mentioned, March, I started in February. March, here comes COVID. And so doing things like that, that would require in-person interaction, you know, we just had to actually had to put that on the shelf. So I do think in 2021, with the advent of a potential vaccine and it getting distributed to folks, this is something that the city can look into as well. And again, I think if you do an incubator, it needs to be twofold. One's for pure startups and one's for businesses that need a little boost. You know, we have a very robust, large scale businesses in terms of the industrial sector and some of the commercial retail along 74. So there's opportunities for mentor protege and also for supplier diversity. Some of these large, the Duracells of the world, the Smuckers, and let's see, the Expo Logistics. Some of those folks may need printing, they may need paper, they may need some services, and it would be nice if some of these local startup businesses could actually provide that just within the actual Fairburn business footprint. So you could have some sort of, I guess, a supply chain just within the Fairburn and or South Fulton market. So I think 2021 will definitely you know, some of those good ideas and those recommendations that, again, we had to shelve in 2020. But I do think maybe spring of 2021, once there's, you guys have tossed around the term normalcy, but I do think that's something that we need to revisit next year, doing a incubator program. Again, I think it's just another facet, another feather in the cap that we can attract local small businesses, not only for the downtown area, but throughout the city of Fairburn.
Thank you. And how it what it means for Main Street is our most recent numbers are we had about 8,000 employees that live within the city of Fairburn. The overall population is pushing 18,000, so you can do the numbers there. Has, you know, those are people who live in our community but don't come to our restaurants in our downtown area, and that's who we can really pull from. So, you know, as all of the assets, all of the programming that Mr. Johnson just talked about, more and more of those employees, gosh, if we can get even a fraction of the 8,000 employees that live in Fairburn to really start using the resources downtown, and that would be amazing. That would be great for our businesses.
If I may add another, asset or another opportunity is coordination with entities such as Aerotropolis Atlanta Alliance, which has workforce. You know, one of the things now with the pandemic, a lot of people were laid off because of several reasons, but you have a lot of unskilled labor. But having a workforce component, again, in terms of the incubation program, can again help some of those folks in areas such as whether it's carpentry, some of the more laborious type of fields, but getting them hospitality, you know, with hotels or just, you know, there's a variety of different, fields for things such as workforce. And I think that Aerotropolis Atlanta is, you know, we are a member of that particular organization. Just to let the Main Street Board knows that there are agencies and entities out there that exist that we can look for to help with the workforce or and even educational collaboratives as well. So again, there's a lot that's out there. And again, I think 2021, again, if things can get some way normal again, we definitely need to look into, you know, ramping up again, not just for Main Street, but for the city overall.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Okay, sure. So we can go, let's go to the next slide. Before we change, just take note of the elements again of the work plan, because these are the things that we will flesh out: the goals, tasks, responsible parties meaning a board member, also dates, task. The difference between the task and the goals is that there's a date attached to a task. There is an ending date. There's also a budget in terms of, and then us updating in terms of the progress of that particular task. Next slide, Mr. Parks, please. So these are the ongoing projects that we have going on now. We have social media. Again, it's something that we are trying to make more robust, and we're trying to, at the same time that we're trying to increase the numbers, we're also trying to refine it so that we're targeted. We've got a platform from our marketing department. We have about 5,000 people on our rolls in terms of when we send out distributions, about 5,000 people are impacted. The challenge is we don't know who those 5,000 are generally. And we have to make sure that we are the messaging that we are putting out there, that is what we intend to do. Mr. Parks, in terms of the number, can you give us some insight in terms of what is the actual number that we're dealing with?
Of how many people on social media?
Yes, sir. About it, as far as our distribution. Right now, Main Street, the only distribution that we really put out are project announcements and promotions. I know we've got our digital coupon campaign, but we also do our newsletter. But in terms of our reach, when we have to, like if we're promoting an event or something like that, what is the distribution reach?
Approximately 5,000 to 8,000 people.
Okay. So in terms of our responsiveness, it normally is what, around 25% of that number, right?
Give or take, yes.
Okay, so that's it for everyone. That's basically where we are. In terms of our social media, we're getting a 25% impact. So any marketing campaign that we do is pretty much, we're getting only 25% of that 8,000. Wouldn't it be great to get more? And I think as a board, maybe us looking at and identifying a way to make sure that we're increasing those numbers meaning that we're actually have a message that is resonating with the needs, wants, desires of people that we're sending. The concert series has always been very impactful. Mr. Parks, that's normally what, well attended and that sort of thing. So people like music and entertainment.
That is correct.
Mr. Parks just put on a virtual Christmas. And can you tell us a little bit about the numbers and pretty much how the social media component was effective in doing that?
We've had approximately 2,200 individuals to view it, and we still have individuals interviewing, viewing it now. Its tip is really on YouTube, but you have to get to it by way of our Fairburn website. But it has been very successful, and other cities have also looked at it to see how they can also do the same thing, if not duplicate.
So as a board, we want that kind of, I mean, we definitely want it for entertainment, but we definitely want it from some of our marketing. I want to put this question on the table. Number one, how many people were able to see the virtual tree lighting?
Thought.
Mm-mm. Everybody? Okay. Did anybody get a chance to see it?
I saw it.
Yes, that's yeah. On Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ms. Smith, based upon you were able, tell me how you got, how you were obtained knowledge about it, the viewing experience, and how you feel like overall, as a board, this can inform some of the outreach that we do.
I am connected. Well, I went and did the app when we had talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but I was connected, honestly, with Facebook.
Okay.
So that's how I joined in as well. So pretty much the social media is kind of driving the information to our audience.
Okay.
Also, I mean, this is just kind of FYI, talking to someone that was raised from the area. I don't know if this may be one of our challenges, and it was just kind of good information to hear that the reason they felt like some of the issues in Fairburn occurred was because they really didn't want Fairburn to grow. So I don't know if it's some of the people that we don't see that have been here for a while with that same mentality. And he broke it down to as why that's why Union City got the mall and some of the older things and how Union City grew. Not now, but over the years. So that's why people knew they wanted to make sure that Fairburn didn't have that much traffic. But like I explained to him, where the demographics have changed, and I don't think anyone wants Fairburn, including myself, to be this humongous little city, but we do want to see more things and change that mindset. So that was kind of nice to hear, so that we know that there are some people in the neighborhood that have that mindset. So that's going to be a challenge that need to be changed while we're working on some projects.
Okay, that's good to know.
I'd like to echo that, Mika, since I've been here almost, 14, 15 years. And I've over the years, I've pretty much heard the same thing, that we want more restaurants, but we want more locally owned sit down restaurants. But then you have a group that may want an Applebee's. You know, I think there was at some point, there was a huge rumor that we were getting the Applebee's, and now it's mm-hmm. it's feeling like if you go off of the exit, you can have all of the franchise locations that you want. But I feel like downtown, if we keep that more family oriented, I like the approach we're taking to that.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are at that, Ms. Applebee, Chair Applebee, where you want to say?
Well, I was just going to echo what Ms. Bracey and Ms. Smith said. I agree with that. I think in the downtown area, you do need to keep that more, intimate type. And this is just my opinion. I don't think that the downtown have any room, quote unquote, for an Applebee's or franchise type. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that it should be a specialty type restaurants. Yes, sit down, but specialty restaurants, just like Sliders, you know, something on that level, but more family owned or more specialty. I can't really think of the word, but I do agree with that. I think that you have enough opportunities for the franchised restaurant sit downs like Red Lobster or Applebee's or whatever. You have those opportunities along 74 from here all the way to past Peachtree City. But downtown, you just need to keep it eclectic, like, you know, mm-hmm. with from here, by us, for us type of development.
Sounds good. Great feedback. So we are past the 8 o'clock hour. So what we will do is our next meeting, we'll probably incorporate this and pick up where we left off on projects and targeted, both where we are now, targeting projects in the future. If you look real briefly at the targeted and future projects, they're all listed according to the transformative strategies that we will be looking at in 2021. So we'll keep on that vein. And in our January meeting, we'll start fleshing out task lists. In the meantime, I will try and get as much of this information to you in your next board packet to review. I know it's a lot, but we'll comb through it and we'll get through it gradually, step by step. Next slide, Mr. Parks. So we're gonna just go through this really quickly. We will also deal with this part, the Main Street committees, in our next meeting. We'll talk about the leadership team. These, please think about the four roles here. We are looking at, we do have to have a leadership team even on our board, and then some of the committee structures. And I've heard from everybody, a lot of you want to be on committees or just spearhead committees. I've heard from a few that you want to be in leadership. And so that's kind of how I would like our chair to kind of talk about real briefly, because I don't want to keep people on the call too long, about some thoughts about in terms of leadership and kind of looking at that role, even if it's new for many people on this on the board.
Oh, okay. Well,
sorry. we can tackle it next. We can actually tackle it next time in our January.
I can give you a quick commercial.
Okay.
Miss Abernathy, Sylvia, well, Miss Abernathy, she had informed me that in the last or the prior to the last meeting we had, and where she surveyed the group, and some people, as she stated, wanted to be on committees and some people wanted to be in the leadership team, but there wasn't anyone no one didn't pick chairperson. So I agreed to go ahead and take up that role temporarily or however you want it. I mean, if someone here want to go ahead and step up to the plate, I'll be more than happy to support that person and everything. But the chair, as far as service goes, it is, this board, Main Street Board, is very critical and crucial to the development of the downtown area or downtown areas. And whereas it requires a lot of patience, number one, being in, I know some of you or most of you are in the corporate or not the government side sector, but in the government side sector, you do work a little slower at a slower pace. So in some of these committees and in the leadership role, your pace may not align with the government pace, but it is a pace. And you do have to have a lot of patience and as well as ingenuity, because you have to keep going at it and keep working at it. But at the end of the day, it's very fulfilling to see all of, I call them pieces of puzzles. All of your pieces of puzzles will come together and make one big complete whole puzzle. Because right now, Ms. Abernathy is working on a piece of the puzzle. Director Peaks and Director Johnson, they're working on pieces of the puzzle, but all of this will come together for the good and the service of the Main Street area. But you just, this particular program really need people who just have the get up and go and want to see their Main Street flourish, not well, as well as the whole city, as well as the city as a whole. But being on the DDA or the Downtown Development Authority, we are basically, we are an economic arm of the city, but however, there are fingers to the city, and that is your Main Street. And the arm can't work without the fingers, fingers can't work without the arm, so to speak. But I think this Main Street program is great. And it is not only for the beautification of the Main Street, but it you have to look at it as a whole, is for everyone involved. So it's not just business owners, it's for people like me. I don't own a business, but however, I have a stake. We're all stakeholders in this process. So I think this is crucial. I think it's beautiful. I think we have Ms. Abernathy picked and the staff pick a great many. You all are great. I love your questions and I love your energy. So, but I decided to take the chairperson role. But if anyone else want to stand up and take on the leadership role for now, and I will do that for now, and then later on down the road we'll just hand over the baton to someone else.
Okay, well, thank you. And again, one of the things that Chair Appleby is reiterating is this is a board made up of merchants, stakeholders, and it has to ultimately be run by you. So if, like she said, if there's anyone who has an interest in a leadership, there has someone, we've received interest in the vice chair position. We've also, and what we will do is in January, we'll identify a voting block where each of you can vote or write in any of the positions that you so desire. And if it's something that you want, now's the time to speak up and say. Mm-hmm. And so we can move forward. I know everyone is busy, but we do need a leadership team. And the job descriptions were sent out. Again, we got a lot of interest from folks who were interested in chairing up a committee, which is great. And we can set that up. But we also need a leadership team. So please, over the holidays, think about it. We're not talking about, remember, as staff, we're here to support. So we're not talking about a lot of time that you would have to commit. Just keep that in mind. And again, we're going to wrap it up because we're getting past the time. So next slide, please.
I have one question. Who decided on the vice chair position?
I was interested in that one.
Okay. I will leave you my information, contact information, and you and I, we can sit down and talk because we have to support, you know, each other. So,
sounds good.
Thank you, Ms. Bracey.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there any other comments, questions, concerns that anyone has before we adjourn? And again, I want to take this time to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. There's something from Main Street in the mail to you all, but we want to thank everybody for your hard work. Please keep in mind the important dates, December 21st, certification exam. Please have your certificates sent in. If you're having any challenges, whether it's timing, scheduling, need a space that is away from home or the office, please, please don't hesitate to call me or text me or email me so that we can make sure that's done. Also, over the holidays, please consider leadership team. And if you have an idea about committees, please also consider that. And I think that is it. We just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Be safe. Hope you enjoy time with your family. Any final thoughts, comments, or concerns?
I would like to speak on behalf of the chair and the vice chair. I think those are great picks. I've sat down with Chair Appleby many times, and you know her knowledge, you know, dealing with East Point and you know dealing with city administrative. I think she's great, and I think that, that's a great pick.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Paris. Thanks.
Awesome.
Sylvia, if you guys are, I just think I would like to watch a little bit. I don't mind taking on a leadership role, but never having the opportunity, if someone's like Miss Appleby, I'm putting it out there, I'm willing to mentor through. I mean, as far as leadership, I'm not afraid of that. I've done it in different areas, but I think right now in my experience, I need to learn a little more, but I'm not afraid of it if it comes to a point where someone have to step in because of her other obligations.
Excellent.
And also, well, thank you, Ms. Smith, for saying that. I love to mentor. So I will, well, Ms. Abernathy, she can share with you my contact information and I can sit and talk with any one of you or, you know, in the duration between now and whenever. And we can sit down and we could talk, you could pick my brain. A lot of people, Paris have, yeah. Pastor Jones have picked my brain. And I would love to sit down with each and, you know, every one of you who want to take on a leadership role. I think you all will be great. And I understand right now, I get it. I've been there, but I just give me a call. Give me a call. And it doesn't matter what it's about. Little things, big thing, it doesn't matter. Just call me, contact me, and I will sit down and talk with you, okay?
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Director Peaks, do you have any final comments or announcements or?
No, only thing I would just add, I think it's a great meeting. The energy is definitely mm-hmm. here. I think everybody that's at the table definitely have some great ideas and gonna be very impactful in what they bring to this board and to the city of Fairburn overall. So I'm excited about the direction that the board is going in, some of the transformative strategies. I think they're great, and they're just gonna be great accomplishments to what we're already doing in the city from the planning and zoning side, from community development, from the streetscape project to the LCI downtown master mm-hmm. plan. I just feel like all the stars are aligning mm-hmm. for Fairburn at this time as far as where we're going and some of the projects, they all complement each other. And I think it's just a great time to be involved in initiatives such as this. And so I'm just excited about it. I'm looking forward to 2021 and all that you guys are gonna bring to this board. And again, I appreciate everyone and wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Awesome. Thank you, Director Peaks. Well, we will adjourn. Thank you everybody for taking time out on this Tuesday evening to be on the call. We appreciate you, a lot of great information. Thank you so much for your contributions. And again, Merry Christmas. And be safe.
All right. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Holidays, everyone.
All right. Bye. Thank you. Bye.